At our church, Jesus is Lord. That single belief calls us together as a community and sends us into our world with hope and purpose. At our church, your past will never define your future. There's always redemption, which means there's always a brighter day. At our church, we don't think we're better than any other church out there. We're just doing our best to become our best. At our church, we want you to believe in God, but we also want you to know that God believes in you. We are not against people who don't attend church anywhere. Instead, we pursue them with love, the very same love that's pursuing us. At our church, we're learning to serve God with all our hearts, and we're learning to worship Him with all our lives. And if you're looking for the perfect church, we're not it. At our church, we will make mistakes, but we will choose to grow from them. At our church, we're part of a global community that's knit together by the resurrection of Jesus. And by the way, at our church, we believe that really happened too. At our church, we will engage with people who are in real need because we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And finally, we need you to hear this loud and clear. At our church, it's not really our church at all. It's His. And we live and move and breathe in His church for His glory and His fame, not ours. So here's the invitation. You're invited to jump in with your whole heart at your own pace and to experience the life that awaits you in Christ. Friends, this is going to be good. Welcome to our church.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save.
You keep hope alive. Jesus, you are alive. You keep all the light. You keep all the light from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep all the light because you are alive. Jesus, you are.
Dios, Dios, oh, bueno es Dios, Dios. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let,
trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need
need you to pierce through the dark. Break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark. Cleanse every part of me. Trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. Don't hold nothing back from him. yourself back from here.
Good.
the goodness
of God.
I will see of the goodness of God. Your goodness is hard enough, is hard enough to bear.
Your goodness is hard enough, is hard enough to bear. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is hard enough.
Come on, lift up a praise to the King. Lift up a praise to the King. Lift up a shout to the Lord. He's worthy. Come on, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We lift you up. Father, King of glory, God of eternity, we worship you today. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, there's victory in our worship. There's victory in our praise. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it again. Sing it out. One more big hand of praise. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated, church. There's such a powerful energy and anointing in the room when we lift up our praises to the King. It's a joy to be with you in the house of the Lord today. We want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If this is your first time here, after the service, please stop by the Welcome Center in the foyer so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. I do have a quick announcement. This month is our month to do what's called a baby bottle campaign. We're going to be supporting the Family Resource Center of Ahoskie, which some of you know formerly as the Pregnancy Crisis Center of Ahoskie. And the baby bottle campaign is an easy way for us to give in to that ministry. And what they want to do is build up families in our region. How many know that families are at stake in our nation? Families are under attack in our nation, and we need to build up the family. And they offer services like pregnancy care, pregnancy preparation, teaching you how to budget, just offering resources to build up families. And we want to give women who are facing unplanned pregnancies a real option where they feel like they have support and where they can really make the right decision. And so we want to help do that. If you pick up a baby bottle in the foyer after the service, you take it home with you. You can fill it up with cash, coins, or check. Bring it back at the end of the month, and we will deliver that baby bottle to the Family Resource Center of Ahoskie. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so by text, or you can do so on our website. If you're giving by check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. And if you're in the building, we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Thank you guys for being here today, and thank you online worshipers for joining us. And if you would, just hit share in the bottom of your screen there. That takes the message and multiplies it exponentially to all your friends. We thank God you got friends, amen? And so you can share that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for those who are watching in distant places. We received a great praise report from one of our viewers, our regular viewers in Florida this week, that had a fire inside the house, and God spared them, and nothing was damaged. Someone was able to get it out real quickly, and what a beautiful thing. Amen. Praise God. Some fires you want to start and see spread, but some of them you want to stop. Come on. Amen. The fire of the Spirit, you want it to spread, but when one of those real fires breaks out, you want it to stop. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to begin a new series today that I've simply entitled Roadblocks, Overcoming Opposition on Your Journey. For several weeks, I'll be bringing messages to you when I speak concerning spiritual challenges that we face, and retrieving that from Scripture in a very different way. I hope you'll follow along and receive what the Lord says to us in that. Let's just pray together right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we don't want to thank you for your goodness. As we just sang about it, it just chases us down. Your your mercy, Lord. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' strong name, we just ask you to visit among us today, God, in our hearts. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. And Lord, speak to us through your word. In the strong name of Jesus, the Son of God, we pray. Amen and amen. Moses was perhaps one of the greatest leaders of all time. As you look in the Bible and you discover tremendous leaders, Moses ranks at the top. Come on, say he's the top dog. Amen. He's the top. He ranks at the top. The greatest leader of all time. He was tending a flock of sheep in the Bible, and the sheep that belonged to his father-in-law. How about y'all like to get a job and go working for your father-in-law? Come on. That would be challenging sometime, wouldn't it? I did that for a season. I remember when Papa gave me a job and working on the farm. And sometimes it's challenging because, you know, you may not see it the way that he sees it. But guess what? I had to learn real quick. He was the boss. Come on. Amen. You got to learn that. So Moses is tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, and he's on the backside of the desert near the mountain of Horeb, as you read the story, when all of a sudden the Lord appeared to him in flames in a burning bush. Wouldn't it be good if God just visited you in an unusual way? Can I just tell you, he really does? Come on. God just visits you in unusual ways. And Moses is getting this amazing spiritual manifestation with the Lord, where the Lord places a divine call, a directive on his life, a directive to lead God's people out of slavery, out of bondage of the Egyptians. And this is what he said to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, I'm in verse 7 and 8 here. The Bible says, the Lord said, I have indeed. I've underscored some words here in my notes that because they're just meaningful. They speak powerfully. Look at the power words in this verse. The Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. Listen, you can't find yourself in any predicament, in any place in your life where God doesn't see you. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord, come on now, are upon the righteous. Amen. He's watching you. His eyes are upon you. He says, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. You can, listen, you can call upon the Lord, and you have this confidence, as the writer of the New Testament says, that when you pray, what happens? He hears you. Amen. He says, I hear them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. I want to tell you this morning, God is concerned about you. You may feel like, you know, God's left you out. God's just overlooked you. God's kind of forgotten where you are. I'm going to tell you, God has never forgotten you. He's never going to forsake you, the Bible says. So he says, I'm concerned about their suffering. Even though, listen, they got themselves in a mess. Why? Rebellion and idolatry will get you in trouble. Come on. It really will. And now they're enslaved by the Egyptians. And he says in verse 8, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up and out. Amen. I love up and out. He says, I'm going to bring them up out of that land into a good and a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And here's a parenthetical statement here. Here's a word of understanding as to what the land is. He says the land is the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. In other words, the people that belong to God has found themselves enslaved and in bondage to Egyptian slave drivers, and the Lord says he's promised them a future. How many of you get into situations where you just wonder if you'll ever get out of this stuff? Come on, have you ever found yourself in a position where you wondered, will I ever just get to see the bottom again? Come on, listen, God is speaking to you today. If you're watching online and you find yourself in a challenging spot, I want to tell you, you've not gone to any place where the Lord cannot find you there and sustain you and build you up and lift you out and put your feet on a solid rock. God has promised this people, his people, a destiny, a journey. In fact, Moses told them that God would bring them up and out. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's bringing you up and he's bringing you out. Come on. God's going to bring you up and he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you up out of that depressing place, that oppressive position that you find yourself in. And God's going to bring you not only up, he's going to get your feet on solid ground, and you're coming out of this thing, honey. God is going to help you. He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your strong tower. He's going to be your fortress, up and out. And God is going to bring his children into a good land, a spacious land, a land, the Bible says, that is flowing with milk and honey. Well, what in the world does milk and honey mean? Amen. Somebody say, well, I don't like milk. Yeah, I do, man. Give me some cookies and I do the Dunkin' thing. Come on. I love cookies. Amen. And I love cookies when they're dunked in milk. Come on. I can sit down with a bag of Oreos. Well, you just don't even know what I'm talking about. But I can sit down with a bag of Oreos and I feel the Holy Ghost upon me when I'm sitting there with them Oreos. Come on. God does amazing things when I take that cookie and submerge it, and it can't be none of that 2% milk. I want some whole vitamin D milk, man. I want something that got some cream in it. Come on. Dunk that cookie. Man, and somehow I've noticed something about that. When I do that, the rose in that package disappear. Have you ever noticed that? They disappear. They go away. Amen. And then I put them away, but I never forget where I put that bag. Come on. Because the next night, oh man, the next night I might get creative and pull ice cream into the picture. Come on. He says, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? Well, the milk and honey promise is this. Some of you that are sitting here have been to the promised land with me. And when you go into that barren, dry, rocky, sandy, I tell people who've never been there, it's almost like going down to Nag's Head and you come across Jockey's Ridge. It's almost that just multiplied 100 times. Because you're out there in the middle of the barren Judean wilderness, and then all of a sudden, you know, you look out upon the distance and you can see Jericho, that city of palms, that wonderful oasis in the midst of the desert geographically. And then if you get on the right road and you travel down through the middle where, you know, Israel is on the one side and Jordan is on the other, and you're traveling through the what? Through the promised land, a very fertile land. A land flowing with milk and honey where there are plenty of goats. Come on, look at your neighbor and go, bah. Come on, listen. Goats are there. Milk is there. And then when you look out into the distance, you know what you see? You see the stately date palms. The stately date palms. I fixed me a bag of date palms and I pulled them out of the cabinet this morning. And I was going to bring them dates and just pass them around. But guess what? I forgot my dates. Come on, say somebody say, aw. Maybe I'll just run to the store and get you some Oreos and milk. Maybe that'll make up for it. I left my dates on the counter. But it's the land flowing with milk and honey. What is honey? It is the joy of knowing that the date palms will produce those beautiful dates. And it was said historically that all in the world a shepherd boy needed in a day's time. Culturally, they tell us that all they needed to do is take 2 dates and a piece of bread and a skin of water. Just fill the little wine skin up with water and just take a piece of bread and 2 dates and stick them in his pouch. And he had enough nourishment to sustain him for all day. I think I'm going to try the biblical diet and see if I can get by with that. Just a little water, just a little bread, and just a couple of dates a day. It probably will last a couple of days, and we'll be right back to Oreos and milk. Come on, somebody. But that's what they say to us, that these dates were so rich. They were so rich. Let me tell you, God has precious promises for you. He will not only bring his children into that land of milk and honey, but in that fertile valley of Jordan River, listen, you can go by there and you can see all the beautiful crops, the beautiful crops. I remember many times going into a little store in Jericho, and I saw it with my own eyes. The grapes are like the size of plums, and the plums are like the size of maybe a nectarine, and the oranges are like the size of a grapefruit. And the beautiful thing about this is they just go from season to season to season, one right after another. Why? Because this is God's promised land. It's a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And the fertile valley of the Jordan River was God's promised land waiting for his children. But there was just one problem. What was the trouble? The land was inhabited. God promised that he would give them the land, but guess what? The land is inhabited by people who serve other gods, pagan gods. Now, let me tell you, God has precious promises for you, and he has precious promises for me. He has a destiny. He has a land. He has a possession. But there are other entities, come on now, that sometimes stand in our way, roadblocks, if you will, that have to be dealt with, oppositions that rear their head and stand in the way, trying to rob us of what God intended for us to have. In this season, this year-long journey, that's what COVID has served for many of us. Opposition of all that God intended for us. I remember back in January of 2020, when the calendar rolled around from 2019 to 2020, guess what everybody said? Man, they were throwing it on Facebook, on their social media. Oh, welcome 2020. This is the year of vision. Come on. This is the year of perfect vision. This is the year that you will see clearly what God has in store for you. That was January, but when March got here, some of the vision began to get a little blurry. Come on, we wondered what in the world is happening, what's going on. It seems like everything that God has promised us is now come to a screeching halt. Can I tell you something? If he promises, guess what he will do? He will deliver. I found him to be faithful even in the midst of hard times and difficult times. I look back in 2020 and I thank God for some of the things that he did. In 2020, God did some incredible things. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. God kept you. God sustained you. And God's going to move you forward in this year of 2021. He intended us to have a year of clarity, some said. But for many, 2020 became a year of confusion. But I'm here to encourage you this morning and to let you know that God has not forgotten you. God has his sovereign hand upon your life, and he will give you wisdom and discernment as to how to deal with the opposition, those things which literally stand in front of you as roadblocks to you on your way to the destiny that God has assigned to your hands. God told Moses this. He said, you know what? I will be your God, come on now, and you will be my people. Come on. Listen, God says, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. God has always worked in the lives of his people. It was never easy. It wasn't a piece of cake for the children of Israel. It wasn't easy street. They had their battles to win. They had their adversaries to face, but God was going to give them their promised land. He was going to lead them up and out. He was going to give them the leadership that they needed to drive out the inhabitants. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. The verses are 1-6. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess, and he drives out before you many nations, look at what he says here, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations, he says here in the Bible, that are what? Larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them, did you catch this? God is telling them already, when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated. Listen, they haven't done it yet, but God's already telling them what he's going to do. I'm going to deliver them over to you and you are going to defeat them. Then you must destroy them totally. Then he says what? Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. How many of you know it's just important to stay equally yoked with believers? Come on. It just is important. For they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do with them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. For you, God speaks to them now and says what? You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. I want to spend the next few messages that I share with you on these nations. I want to spend the next few messages talking about these nations that inhabited the land of promise for God's people. And I want to share with you the spirit. Somebody say spirit. I want to share with you the spirit in which each one of these nations, each one of these people represent. They all have significance. Not only in the lives of God's people, but here we go. Here's the application. You say, why would we need to go through these people? Because every one of them have something that they're noted for. Every one of them biblically have something that they stand out in significance of. And rather than speed through each of them in a single setting, I could speed through them this morning and maybe stay here and just cover every one of those. But rather than speed to them in one setting, I want to devote a message to clarify for us those opposing spirits, those roadblocks on our journey, if you will. What I've noticed, you know what? This is almost a risk for me, because you know what I've noticed in 40 years of preaching? You get what you preach. Come on. Pastor Bernie, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, if you preach about opposing spirits, you know what you're going to run into? Opposing spirits, okay? If you preach about love, you know what's going to happen? Folks just going to love you to pieces. They're going to bring you more Oreos and more cookies. Come on. If you preach about salvation, you know what happens? People get saved. If you preach about healing, folk get healed. So we're preaching here for the next several messages about opposing spirits. But I believe that God would have us to speak this to you, because some of you right now, come on, are in the midst of a journey in your life and in your destiny that you're trying your dead level best to fulfill, and you've run into some roadblocks along the way, and you don't know how in the world you're going to make it. I'm going to tell you, God is going to call you. He's going to teach you in the end of this message today how you deal with those opposing spirits. God has not given us a position. God has not put us in a place where he's going to just hang us out there to dry and say, listen, I'm going to just test Wallace down there in Ahoskie, North Carolina, and not give you a means of dealing, somebody say dealing, with the opposition. God's going to help you here. So they all have significance. And I think the Lord wants us to understand what it is we are up against in these evil days. Look at Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. It says this. Don't get tired of this verse, because you're going to look at it for a few times here in the next few messages. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess. You see, God fully expects for you to fulfill the destiny that he's assigned to your hands. He does. He don't want you to get sidetracked and distracted and thrown off the track. God expects you to fulfill the destiny that he has assigned to your hands. He really does. And he says, when you're entering that land to possess, drives out before you many nations. Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Seven nations, once again, stronger. Seven nations larger than you. The very first nation that the writer here bothers to tell us about are the Hittites. Hittites represents a spirit of terror. Hittites represent a spirit of fear. In fact, the Hebrew word, if you look up the Hebrew word Hittite, it means terrible or fearsome. The first thing you usually encounter, don't miss this, the first thing that you usually encounter when God calls you to do a thing, when God maybe places something in your heart that you are believing totally, that God wants you to do this for your living, God wants you to do this for your vocation, God wants you to be a specific, fulfill a specific role, the first thing that happens is fear settles in. Amen? Come on. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're listening to me. Some of you are online and you have an aspiration. You've tried and you've not been successful. You have an aspiration to hit the ball out of the park, and all you can do is swing the bat, strike one, strike two, strike three. Guess what? That's what God wants you to understand, that he's in control. And though the umpire of your life may just say, listen, strike, 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 and you're just convinced that you're not going to make it. I remember when I was studying real estate several years ago, about 3 years now. I never intended to go into the real estate business until later years. I intended for that to be somewhat of a help for me in retirement times. But because of sphere and influence and knowing people, God has used that to bless me along the way. But guess what happened? See, you don't know the story. I went, you know, I'm a learned man. I'm you know, I graduated from NC State University. I mean, that makes you smart, right? Amen. I graduated from high school. That makes you smart. I graduated from college. That makes you smarter. And not only that, I studied and got a master's degree. And then in the course of 7 years, I worked very hard to get a master's and then get a doctorate. So I got a little bit of smarts about me. You know, I know how to do the academia. I know how to deal with tests and essays and, you know, in-text documentation and all those things. I got through the classes. So I march into the real estate school and, hey, I got this, man. This is just a few weeks and it'll be out of the way. Well, guess what happened? I finished the course, but guess what happened when I took that state exam? I failed. And then my family, you know, they're texting me, hey, Pops, you know, how'd it go today? And I remember driving back from Greenville with my lips hanging to the floor of that vehicle. I'm just texting, didn't do so well. And I found an emoji that fit the way I felt, and my lips were just hanging to the floor. It didn't pass. Well, all of a sudden, they started ringing my phone. Hey, hang in there, Pops. It's going to get, listen, just one test down. You're going to get it the next time. So I pay another $110, and I schedule myself for the test, and I study, and I study, and I study, and I listen to videos, and I get all ready to take that test, and the day comes, and I take it. And when I'm in the test, I have my phone on silent, and then when I open it up at the end of it, all these messages. Hey, Pops, I know today's your day. You just nailed that thing. God is good. And then I get the word. Guess what happened a second time? I failed the test. I don't even want to talk about the third time. Guess what they said to me? Oh, Dad, especially Abigail, you know, she's cheering me. Dad, third time's a charm, Pops. You got this, man. Everything's going to work out fine. I took that test a third time. Bonk! Sit down. You're not going to pass the test. Can I just tell you? See, I couldn't talk about that then. But I can talk about it now. How many of you know on the other side of the pain, on the other side of the grief, on the other side of the mourning, you're able sometime to look back because you can say, guess what? There was a fourth time that I took that test. I paid my $110. I'm up to $440 now. I've spent $3,000 on preparation and classes. I got this, and I stepped up to that test, and boom, I knocked that test out of the park, man. I passed that test. God took me through. But guess what I could have done? I could have quit and said, you know what? This is not for me. I'm not cut out for this. There's opposition. God must be telling me I'm closing the door. No, 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 no. God was setting me up, and He was teaching me that my dependence is upon Him. Amen? And so for the last, I think, my office sent me a message. Can I tell you something? In 3.5 years as a real estate agent, I've never been to a single company meeting. They have them every Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. I've been a real estate agent down there for 3.5 years. Never been to a single meeting. I get a message here just about 3 weeks ago. Hey, are you coming, to the awards day? Nope. I'm not coming to the awards day. Why would I go down there to the awards day? You know, it's just a slice out of my time. I've got ministry to do. Well, you're in the $1 million club again. For 3 years in a row, you've sold over $1 million in real estate, and they're honoring this year because you're in the $3 million club or the $2 million club or whatever. I was like, nah, I won't be there. And so all these messages are coming. Hey, congratulations. Congratulations. For what? You're in the $2 million club this year. You know what? So what? So what? But I just want to tell you, listen, if those things are your priority and you have a drive for them, sometimes you won't be able to get those things that you're so bent toward accomplishing so that you can hold yourself up there and say, look what I did. But if you just take it as it comes and just fight the battles when they do come, God will take you all the way to the end. And you know what? He'll be right there when you slam dunk, and He'll give you a high five. Come on. God is good. God is good. He has not left you. Listen, and you're sitting here this morning. Some of you are sitting here this morning, and you've got this aspiration. You've got this destiny that you know that God has assigned this to your plans. And you're waiting so desperately to fulfill it. And you'll be like, man, listen, man, you think I wanted to tell my family? Hey, how'd it go today? I was like, man, take this phone and throw it in the woods. I don't want to answer anybody. And you know what they did every time I failed? They said, guess what, Pops? Don't worry about it. You'll get it. Help me here. You'll get it next time. Okay? And then the enemy begins to work on you. You don't even plan for a next time. Come on. Am I speaking to anybody in the house this morning? You don't even plan for a next time. Because why would you, listen, why would you humiliate yourself? And then I got thinking. I remember when I started taking real estate classes. I remember sitting there in those classes every day. And so naturally, you be kind to the persons beside you. Hey, what's your name? You know, we're going to be in class here for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So where are you from? You know, what's going on in your life? You had to stand up and tell them, my name is Wallace. You know, I'm a pastor of a local church. And, you know, my name is Sally, and I'm an RN, and I'm taking real estate so I can transition out of the hospital. I'm tired of 12-hour shifts. And people were going around telling what their reason was. And then you had to go through the entire class. And then there came the time when it was all over with. And, hey, you're looking on Facebook. Hey, I passed, man. I'm on my way. And I'm thinking, like, man, I don't want to see other people's victories. You know what? I'm the one in there that's educated. I'm the oldest guy in the class, okay? I know I was the coolest, but I was the oldest guy in the class, okay? I felt like, you know what, I got this. There was a sense of, honestly, there was a sense of when I signed up for this thing, there was a sense of, you know what, I can do this. It's just a routine. Uh-huh. 1 week we'll talk about an issue called pride, okay? 1 week we'll talk about that. Not this week, but 1 week we will. Hang on. We'll get to you, okay? Okay. We'll get to you. But here we go. This is a spirit that I was introduced to. Because once you fail one time, what happens automatically when you sign up for the second time? You get this fear of failure. You get this fear that, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to do that. This is too hard. I'll never get through this. I'm afraid I'm just a failure here. You know what? I remember years ago when I was in Bible college and we were living in a 600-square-foot apartment on the campus of Southeastern University, Lakeland, Florida. And we had separated ourselves for the purpose of preparing for ministry. And while I was there, I encouraged my wife. I said, Joy, while we're here, you really need to jump on board and go to school also. We got 2 kids, okay? Abigail was like 5 years old, and Josh, he was, you know, like 7 years old. And we got 2 kids, and I don't know if we can, I said, we can do this, you know, we can make it. And we've got, you know, we got financial aid to help, and we're going to make it through. We got this apartment, it was $150 a month for that apartment for married students. And I remember when Joy bit the bullet and said, hey, I'm going to college. I'm going to start this thing. And I never will forget. I can see it like it was yesterday. When she signed up for that first class, she signed up for a biology class in the summertime. And I remember when she had that first exam, and I was so excited, like, hey, how did it go today? And I walked over to that 1988 Oldsmobile where she was sitting in the parking lot of the car, and her head was down on the steering wheel. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And she looked at me and she said, I'm a failure. I said, what? She said, I'm a failure. I told you, I can't do this. I said, what happened? And she said, I made a C on my first exam. And so Mr. Encouragement here, I said, honey, all it takes is a C. Come on, you know, I'll take the C. But Pastor Joy has a higher standard. She didn't want a C. She didn't want a B. What did she want? Some of you are just like this. She wanted an A. And let me just roll the tape fast forward to several years later, the very same year that her mother was killed in a tragic automobile accident. She walked across the stage of Chowan University's very first 4-year class, graduating with a 3.9 in the top of her class in Murfreesboro, North Carolina. I can take you to the brick where her name is inscribed in the walkway over there in that first 4-year class. Married, 3 kids, loss of her mom. She got the Endurance Award because she surpassed all of their expectations in spite of the challenges that were thrown her way. The opposition. Listen, some of you are listening to me today, and the enemy knows full well what your weak spot is. Where he can get to you, where he can oppose you. And some of you are struggling with that spirit of fear. That's what this Hittite word means. It's terror. It's a fearsome spirit. And that's the first thing that you usually encounter when God calls you to do a thing.
when God places something in your heart. Some of you are sitting here and you can say, yeah, I went to school. I started out nursing school, but I quit. Come on. How many of you have started something and quit something? Come on, be honest. You started something and you quit something. The question is, why did you quit? Because a spirit of fear drove you away. Here's a people of God, beloved. Look at them. God had given them the report. When I deliver them into your hands. They went in with an endorsement from God Almighty that they were going to be champions. And God sets them up and tells them they're going to win. But they still go in and they encounter that spirit of fear. Listen, if you've been wearing shoes that didn't wear out in 40 years, and if you've eaten every day without a grocery store in the community, and you've never missed a meal, and you've had the cloud to guide you by day and the pillar of fire by night, you ought just be convinced that God is going to take care of you. But somehow, that spirit of fear will creep in and threaten you. You and I have no reason to fear. In fact, it was Paul that told Timothy this. I love this verse. I used to use paper Bibles. Now I use electronic Bibles. But in my paper Bible days, I had a Bible that I used, and I used it so much that I wore the cover off of it. And I paid a company $100 to put a brand new, I'm talking about smell the leather kind of cover on this thing. I sent it off. They took my Bible with all of my notes and all of my little check marks and all of my little highlights after all those years, and they recovered my Bible. And I was so happy when I got it back. And I know that that Bible, I still have it today, I know that that Bible, when you turn to the pastoral epistles, those are the dirtiest pages. They have the oils of my skin where my fingers were on my body, and then I touch the pages and turn them. You lick and you turn the page. You know what it's like to have a paper Bible, don't you? Come on, some of you do. And I remember looking at those pastoral epistles. Those are the nastiest pages of my Bible. Why? Because God called me to be a pastor, and I always wanted to hang out in the pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. And I love this verse. He says, God has not given, some of y'all need to hear this today, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He hasn't. God didn't do that. So if you're going through fearful times, I'll tell you, God's nowhere around. He's not the one who deposited that on you. But what has God given you? He's given you a spirit that involves what? Power, love, and soundness of mind. Fear was the nature of the Hittites. They want to intimidate. That's what the connotation, the suggestion, the indication is here. And it's usually that very first challenge that we face in any circumstance, the first roadblock that presents itself. Fear attacks your focus. Come on. Fear attacks your focus. You've been focusing on doing God's will. You've been moving forward, just like the children of Israel. They moved forward. They were to keep moving forward. They were not to make any treaties with the wrong people, no relationships with the pagans. Just stay focused. But fear comes to change your focus. It takes your eyes off of who God is and what God is calling you to do. Sis, right here, you know, God has placed in your heart. You've shared that aspiration with me. God spoke to me and told me to do this. And listen, let me just tell you something. Everything about you, someone would come along and say, listen, who you think you are doing that kind of a task today at your age? Listen, if God planted in your spirit, you move forward. You move forward. You don't take your focus off of what God said to listen to what other people say. You do what God has planted in your spirit. You keep your focus. You keep moving forward. You heard from God. You were praying. You were fasting. You were faithful. But fear knocks on your door and everything seems to change. That's what happened to me and Pastor Joy many, many years ago. We were moving along in the ministry here in the earlier days. You know, we've been here almost 29 years now. We were moving along in the ministry here, and we were convinced that God wanted a ministry established in northeastern North Carolina that would literally be a mirrored reflection of its community, the makeup, the ethnicities, the diversity. It would be a mirrored reflection of what God intended for the church. I mean, hey, I always said, you know, McDonald's is multicultural. Walmart's multicultural, okay? You ever notice in Walmart they have televisions hanging from the ceiling? And you walk through that big Walmart, and you're walking through one section of it, and there's a country music singer up there singing, you know? And then you turn the corner, and you go down the aisle, and there's another TV hanging. And you say, wait. Why? You know why? Because there are diversities of cultures that frequent that store. And so while one person may not care for the country, they like something with a little boom in the step. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so we always said, you know what? Walmart's multicultural and McDonald's is multicultural. What's wrong with the church? We got white church, black church. This ought not to be. And so we purposed in our heart for this church to be a mirrored reflection of where it's planted. And so we took the lid off the church, and I remember when we put it on the sign, Brother B's the one put it up there. He put letters that we purchased, Carpenter Shop Church, and at the bottom he took his hammer and his nails, and he placed on that sign, the church where all are welcome. We started down the journey. And it wasn't long before we started to see some diversity come to the house. And I remember getting the phone call that day. I remember just walking in my office and seeing the red light blinking. And I remember pushing the button on. How many of y'all remember when we used to have answering machines? Come on, somebody. That's a little while ago, isn't it? Okay, and I remember pushing the button on the blinking light. And I remember the voice on the other end, a demonized voice that said, preacher, you better stop writing your little articles in the newspaper. You better stop getting on the radio there and talking about how God loves everybody and wants us to worship together. I'm going to tell you something, sir. You better keep your mouth shut. You better watch your mouth. You better watch your back because I'm going to kill you, sir. And I remember when an FBI agent picked me up right here in the church parking lot and drove me to a man's house in Greenville, North Carolina, and sat in front of the driveway of his house and said, do you know this person? You know where we are? I said, man, I don't have a clue where we are. He said, well, the man that lives here in this house is the one that threatened your life. We've done the work with the video, the tape, and we've done the work. And here's a copy of his track record. And he gave me a list a mile long of crimes that this man had committed. And he said, now my question for you is, what would you and the leadership of Carpenter Shop like to do about this? Do you want to prosecute him because we can arrest him? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen, you walk away, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You love that man. Don't worry about it. I've got you back. And God began to position me with prophets coming to speak into my life. Prophetic words coming from the lips of people who love God that assured me that I didn't have anything to be afraid of to keep moving forward in focus in what God had called me to do. Listen, the enemy wants nothing more than to intimidate you. The enemy wants nothing more, some of you need to hear this, than to intimidate you and scare you so that you will not move forward facing failure again. Amen. Listen, he's not giving you a spirit of fear. He's giving you power, love, and a sound mind. What is fear? It is false evidence that appears real. False evidence that appears real. Fear paralyzes you. Fear puts you in a prison without bars. Fear is to sidestep you out of reality into a perceived reality. Sometimes the enemy is gonna whisper to you something, some destiny that's gonna happen in your life, something that's gonna happen. Have you ever felt like you were gonna, how many of you have ever gotten in trouble for something and you had a court date set up and in your mind, come on, in your mind, you played out that court case in your mind so many nights laying on your bed. You saw yourself, you know, hands behind your back. You're going to jail. You're gonna stay, you're gonna rot in jail, the enemy tells you. How many of you have been through those moments when, hey, it might have been something as simple as a traffic ticket, but you're going to lose your license and they're going to take this and you're going to go through all of these things. And you play it over and over and over in your mind. Can I just tell you something? That does not come from God. That comes straight from hell. That's the enemy's desire. It's a Hittite spirit. I want you to learn something here. It's the spirit of the Hittites to intimidate you, to cause you to be afraid, to play it over in your mind over and over and over again. And it robs you of some dynamics. Take a look at this. You know what it robs you of? He says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you these things, and this is what happens. Hear me. When you walk in fear, you lose, somebody say lose, you lose your power because he paralyzes you. You lose your dynamics, the dunamis. What is dunamis? It is the dynamics of the Spirit of God. So the enemy wants to shut your spiritual dynamics down. He wants to take away your connection with the Spirit of God, resulting in a loss of discernment and resulting in a loss of the gifts of the Spirit that you once walked in freely. He wants to shut you down. Fear will drive your faith away. We get our modern day word phobia from fear. Have you ever known those people that, I remember a lady in our church many, many years ago, we pastored another church. I remember a lady that said, oh, she don't go over bridges. Well, wait a minute. You're not going over bridges. I know people that won't go on trips if there's a bridge in the path. Why? Because I'm scared of the water. You may be sitting here this morning. I just recently heard of someone say, oh, do you have to cross a bridge to go there? I said, well, yeah. I've had people say, hey, I'd love to go to Israel. Is there any way other than flying? Well, you can thumb, I guess, if you want to, but somewhere along the line, you're going to get on a plane, sugar, okay? You're going to get on a plane. Is there any other way to go? Because I don't do airplanes. You know what? I've come to the place in my life, I don't do cars, okay? I want to get on the big bird and fly across the path, you know, and get there faster. But some people have this phobia, you know? I hear people say it all, this simple thing, not picking on anybody. Hey, man, love to see you. I don't drive at night. Was it, is it because you have problems seeing? That's one thing. No, I just don't go nowhere at night. What do you mean? I don't like the dark. Okay, I remember not liking the dark. Okay. Now I love the dark. I got room darkening curtains, you know, and I pull them boogers tight and I don't want any light to come in there. Why? I want room darkening curtains, okay? Why? Because I don't want to deal with the dark, not because I'm scared of it. I don't want to deal with the light, okay? Because I want to sleep, all right? But people have different phobias, and when you have this fear, come on now, when you have this fear, it shuts down other dynamics in your life. When you allow fear to come in, your spiritual dynamics are just negated. When you allow fear to come in, the Hittites have their way. You know what else you lose? You lose agape love. So he wants to cause you to become subjective and short-fused and quick-tempered. And rather than being objective, you start being subjective. And he wants you to be critical and he wants you to be prejudiced. You prejudge people, prejudging people from your own perspective rather than from a God perspective. Okay? You see, fear or terror will shut down your ability just to be open and to love people unconditionally, to receive people as they are. Amen? And then fear will rob you, thirdly, of your soundness of mind. This is your control base. We get our word discipline from this. Fear robs you of your discipline to steal your worship time, to steal your prayer time, to steal your time in the Word, to steal your communion with the Lord. Fear will arrest your mind so that you will not be productive in the realm of the Spirit. And you will concentrate on your fears rather than on the destiny that you've been assigned. That's the roadblock of the Hittites. And we recognize that we need to discern and recognize the Hittite spirit that comes knocking on our door. We have to take authority over that spirit and cast it down. I told you by the end of the service, I'm going to teach you how to deal with this. Musicians, come. Worship team, come. I want to show you how you deal with this spirit of the Hittites. You deal with it by the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The verses are 3-5. Here we go. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The Bible says that the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, somebody say contrary. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish roadblocks, to demolish strongholds. They have divine power to demolish the strongholds, the roadblocks. Verse number 5, we demolish arguments. We demolish the spirit of fear and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive. Look at that. Who's the responsibility on? It's on us. We take captive every thought. Every one of them. Every thought. And what do to it? We make that thought obedient to Christ. You know what? My grandfather died when I was in school. I was a freshman in high school. My grandfather died. We grew up there in a small community in Hertford. My grandfather ran a country store. I've told you the story many times. Hoop cheese, 2-for-a-penny cookies, peppermint sticks that you stick inside of an orange during the holidays, 10-cent Pepsis. I remember those days. And I remember when my grandfather died, the Pepsi-Cola truck was delivering that day, and he got up to go serve the Pepsi-Cola truck, and a car backed around just about the time my grandpa got up off the bench. A car backed around. And the doctor said my grandpa had a stroke. And so my grandpa, his name was Zach, he had a stroke. And when the stroke began to cripple him, he began to lose his stability and fall forward. Well, just for his own help, he reached out. And he reached out toward a moving car. And that car moved on and knocked him backwards and ran over his head. And he was airlifted by the Nightingale to Norfolk General Hospital. And they told my family, they called me, I was in school at Performance High. They told my family, you know, he's not going to survive this. If he should, he'll just be a vegetable the rest of his life. His brain has been severely damaged. He's probably not going to make it. And as the long and short of it, he died within just a few hours. And I remember as a young man who... life centered around that country store for me. Life centered around Grandpa. You know, some of you guys have family connections that just, life just kind of centers around family. And so you don't know what it's like when you lose one of the generals, one of the key people. So we lost Grandpa Zach. And I remember going to the funeral home, Elaine, and I remember walking in Swindell Funeral Home years ago, And my dad said, son, do you want to see him? And I said, yeah, I really do. He said, well, I just need to tell you that when you look at him, you're not gonna think it's him. So are you sure you want to do this? And I said, yes, I do. And I remember walking up to that casket, and I was a young man, and I remember walking up to that casket, and I looked, and the man that I saw in the casket, I said, man, that's not granddaddy. And I looked, I scanned his body, and I looked from head, and I went down and I saw his hands, and mine are beginning to look like that now. I saw the skin and how it had changed, and he was, you know, he was in his 70s. And I looked and I saw his hands. I said, that is him. But here's what happened. The enemy used the imagery of what my grandpa looked like after being run over by a car and the damage to his head. The enemy tried to bring that image into my mind when I'd lie down and go to sleep. And I started regretting, why did I look at him? Why couldn't I just remember, you know, from memories, because I just wanted to see him. And I just went to torment over that thing. I could not sleep. I couldn't function. Everything about me, I was playing it over and over in my mind. Here's a verse that says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive. I remember lying down and sleep at night, and my prayers would go like this in a very innocent way. Lord, watch over me as I sleep. And I just pray, Father, right now that as I go to sleep, that I would not have a dream. Come on, anybody? That I would not have a dream about my grandfather. I was so afraid that I would dream and I would see that damaged life, that beautiful body that we love so much. And it tormented me for weeks. I had to get to a breaking point, and I finally broke through, and I began to just think about the good things. I began to think about my grandpa as I knew him working and providing for his family and being the hub of that little town, that country store. And finally, the fear of having a bad dream left me. No longer did I worry about that, because I had an image in my mind that was indelible. And I was, I was never able to even conjure up again what he looked like in that casket when I went for the last time. I couldn't even imagine, because I was remembering the image of the man who was healthy and hardworking and faithful. I started remembering that. Listen, I don't know what you're dealing with, but I know that when God speaks, he speaks for a reason. And I don't know what you're afraid of. Some of you may have set your sights up to capture a thing, to fulfill a thing that God has placed in your heart, and it just seems like it's been a battle. It's been a battle. Could I have a team of prayer people just to join me here? Just come, and because I believe that there's some spiritual warfare that we can engage in this morning, and we can take authority over those spirits that try to come and say, hey, I'm from the Hittite tribe, I'm here to deal with you today, and they bring fear upon us. Can I just tell you the good news is God wants you to walk in victory. He does. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive that Hittite spirit, that spirit of fear, and we make it obedient to Christ. We make it obedient to Christ. God has called us to be effective in this land that we live in today. God has destined that we possess the land that he's placed in us. Moses was given promises as well. The land was inhabited. Drive them out. I've called you up and out. And that's what some of you are hearing today. God's calling you up and out of this challenge that you've been facing as a spirit of fear has come your way. And God is saying to you today, I have called you to faith. Would you come? Would you stand as we begin to sing today? Let someone agree with you in faith today and take authority over those spirits that seem to bind you today. In Jesus' name. If you're listening online, comment below. Give us an indication of how you need prayer. We'll join with you. We'll join with you in prayer. Don't allow this to defeat you. Don't allow this to continually nag you and mock you. Take authority over this in Jesus' name. Amen.
that has softened my heart, break me apart. I need you to open my eyes, see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say.
Thank you. I trust today that those of you who are battling fear today, that you have been strengthened and encouraged today by the message. Because I know that God is good and that he's good all the time. I'm a witness that he won't leave you or forsake you. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Let us bow our heads. Most merciful God, our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, we're grateful for this day, God, that you allowed us to be here. We're not even earned the right. But God, you saw fit for us to be here today. We thank you, God, for allowing us to come into the house today to worship together, to fellowship together. And God, right now, I pray, oh God, you watch over Pastor Wallace Phillips. God, as you continue to be the shepherd over this flock, oh God, protect him, be with him, he and his wife and his family. And God, I ask now that you look down upon every person in his building today, whether they're watching online or whatever, wherever they are. But God, we pray right now, God, that in this season that we live in, Lord, that you would give us what we need. God, cast out fear. God, break down strongholds. Lord, we need you. We cannot make it without you. There's no way, no how. For Isaiah 26:3 is my verse for the day. He that keeps his mind stayed on you, that you would keep us in perfect peace. So as we leave this place, but not your presence, Lord, we ask that your presence will go with us, just as it did with Moses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You see it all, you see it all.